Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio by Shaka Hislop. I think it's fair to say what happened this weekend could prove to be hugely influential as to who will go on to win the Premier League title at the end of the season. Of course, we saw Liverpool coming from behind to beat Brighton, and there was that 0-0 draw between City and Arsenal, which makes Liverpool the new favourites to go on and win the league. We welcome in Mario Melchior, Frank Nabufs here as well, as is Luis Garcia, to talk about this. Now, I was thinking, Shaq, today, I thought, how should we start the show? Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, the best way probably, considering what's happened over the last 48 hours, is to get everyone to give me their predictions. Okay. Then we can discuss, you know, you look at Arsenal, they've grown as a team, they've learned right. from their mistakes last year. Mm-hmm. You look at City, of course, bringing experience to the table, can never write them off. But you lot have absolutely ruined it because everybody now thinks that it will be Liverpool who win the title. Great debate. Fantastic. What's the point? Thank you very much, everyone. Of course, Liverpool are the bookies' favourites, and it's clear now that they're everybody else's favourites as well. It's exactly the same, apart from Shaka, as Arsenal and City, second and third. Well, that's not really a great debate. So let's focus on Liverpool, shall we, then? What changed this weekend? What's changed your mind, Frank, to have Liverpool now as favourites?
Well, I was putting Manchester City as a favourite before that game, but I didn't see the Manchester City that we used to see at the end of the season, thrashing everybody, you know, being much better than anybody else. Credit to Arsenal and the Gunners. They did the job that they had to do. But in terms of ideas, I didn't see the Manchester City that we used to see. And I feel, watching the Liverpool game, that something is going on with them and they're gonna get it. Of course, it's just a feeling. And also I checked the timetable and I saw and I say, well, no, the opponent that they're gonna have each, maybe Liverpool have not easier way to success, but according to what I see them having more points. I see them with 89 points, 87 for City and 83 for Arsenal. And
wow.
That's the way I see them. I only see them struggling against Everton with the draw, and maybe against Villa, losing against Villa. But that's it. And otherwise, I see the others losing more points. It's why I put them favourites for the title.
I think we should call it the timetable now instead of the schedule. I think that works well. Here comes Everton around the corner. Luis,
sorry.
You're smug. No, don't apologise, Frank. It's your second language and I shouldn't be mocking you because I can't speak French, but it's that sort of day. Luis, you must be feeling very smug, of course, because you had Liverpool to win this right from the start.
Well, actually, we got our doubts during the way because it hasn't been the consistency in the beginning of the season, but definitely you can see right now that after a few months, this Liverpool mentality has changed. You can see that they have overcome some situation. They started some of the games with conceding goals, and they managed with that mentality, with that intensity on the game to come back and to get the results. And right now, I just don't see them losing many points. The way that they've seen with the youngster arriving and being important for the team, the way that Jurgen has placed the team with that situation, with them not helping McAllister, that I think he's been very impressive in the last few months and looks like he's going to be a key player for the future. We saw once again Salah sharp, even though that he didn't have the end product that we are expecting from him, but you could see that he was involved. Luis Diaz is really on fire. Nunez is helping so much, and we cannot forget that they've been missing a few of the players like Jota, like Alisson, but this team has understood that with the intensity that they normally play, that aggressiveness going forward, and with that mentality, I think that Frank just mentioned, if you can see to the fixtures that they have until the end of the season, thinking that it's going to be Wolves, Spurs, Villa, similar to City and Arsenal, I think that Liverpool, the way that they are right now, they are stronger because of that. They got the advantage and they got the mentality in the right place. So, yeah, I see them, they are favourite right now.
Why not Arsenal, Mario?
Yeah, I mean, look, Arsenal has, you know, like season consistently, it always comes to the final strike. Like even last season, you understand? But this season, I do have to say, I see something totally different. I felt it in the game where they played against City. I felt like they managed to hold what the Haaland quiet. The middle of the park, they really bust the game. I felt like they really had it down there, but they played really deep. Not Arsenal-like. Jorginho, you know, was just marking Haaland, making sure that the balls were not getting through to him. So that was one part. And then after that, they answered too when they took some off, you know, when Pep tried to win the game from the side of the field, in the sense of like Grealish and Doku he brought on. But then Arsenal answered too, and he put Pedri on because he knew that he had to double up on the sides. So stuff like that, I felt like Arsenal had the answer. But still, like, there was maybe one opportunity when I felt like Trossard could have slid the ball maybe quicker across for them to score the 1-0, you understand, to win the game. But still, I feel like Arsenal, just what the guys, you know, Louis said, you know, like, and Frank said, the energy that Liverpool possesses at the moment and the way they go through, it just gives me a little bit more belief. I said it a couple of weeks before, but I just feel like they might have it right now. And Arsenal, I don't want to knock them down because I definitely feel that they are really a team that made a lot of, you know, advanced progress in the sense of last season.
You've got Arsenal finishing third, Shaq. You've got no belief in them.
No, I have Arsenal finished second.
Oh, what? Oh, you're the only one who's got them
second. Yeah, and City.
I just saw Liverpool had switched off at the
time. Yeah, well, yeah. No, I think City in third. I just feel, and again, you saw it against Arsenal. That's been my complaint around Manchester City almost all season long. At times, while they've won games, they've not. They've not looked as good as you normally expect Manchester City to do. And then this City team doesn't really keep an awful lot of clean sheets, and I just feel that comes back to haunt them in the long run. Arsenal, for me, are arguably playing the best football in the league right now, but they just find themselves chasing a Liverpool team who I thought their title charge would have been derailed a few weeks ago with all the injuries and Klopp having to call on kids. And somehow that team responded with all those kids. And now you're seeing players coming back. And even when Mo Salah has an off day, Mo Salah always shows up at the right place and exactly at the right time. And I just feel that there's so much about this Liverpool team to admire in a season that they've had every single reason to kind of raise a white flag with the way things have gone, whether we're talking about the offside goal that wasn't against Spurs, the penalty that wasn't given against Manchester City, the manager announcing that he's leaving halfway through the season.
This is very Liverpool TV, Shaq.
But it's Luis Diaz had his father kidnapped middle of the season.
Right,
they
yes,
had every yeah, single reason yeah. to, and yet still, they just keep right. finding a way to get it done.
Right.
And that's how I see the rest of the season playing out.
I think yesterday was a revelation in that game against Arsenal, so much for those that thought it was going to be Manchester City, because we've seen in the past, and the narrative, isn't it, Luis? Right, at the crunch end of the season, they're going to go on a run. They're going to win every game. They're going to get maximum points, as they've done in the past, and they're going to blow the opposition away. And you just don't feel that this season they have that same sort of belief or ability. You take a look at the fact that they haven't beaten any of the teams around them this season. Why? What's changed?
Well, first of all, is that they manage the main striker, Haaland. He has been struggling so much in the games when the teams are very with a low block and very tight without spaces. He's been hand tight. He couldn't move. You could see that when he's on a man marking, we've used to see Haaland just bullying the players, arriving, scoring from every single position into the field with the spaces. You know that he's a key player. But you know that when he's tied, when you put a mark, a strong player, and next to him, he struggles a lot. He's not receiving good crosses. He's not receiving. De Bruyne has been a player who has been injured for quite a long time. Doku hasn't been the player probably who we were all expecting, or Grealish. Foden has been on his own, but not much in the last third. Even Bernardo hasn't been involved into the assisting side. So in the end, the main thing for me about this Manchester City is that they are not creating the chances they created last year, and that the player who has to finish those chances, he hasn't been as accurate as he was last year. And when you have a player who scored last year almost 50 goals and this season is on half of the goals that they score, this is a team that doesn't score many. They don't have enough players to score 15, 20 goals. And to have a player, to have a team that wants to win the Premier League, you need a player who can score 25, 30 goals. This season, they struggle with that. Starting from that, things are not going the way that you just said, because if you don't win against the top teams, you're going to struggle to arrive to the last part of the season with chances of winning it.
What is it that Gabriel and Saliba did so well yesterday, Frank? If you were looking to teach young defenders as to how you should approach these sort of games, what did they do that impressed you?
Well, on top of them, I think you have to include everybody, because as a team, they perfectly worked. You know, when City had the ball, they worked as a block, and real block, with three lines, but very close to each other. And of course, Saliba and Gabriel have been outstanding. They annoyed Alan as well. We could see Gabriel and Alan talking a lot, you know, let's say talking in a nice way, but more insulting each other, you know. But that's part of the game as well, putting your player out of the game. And in fact, before, you could feel that De Bruyne was able to find Haaland every time. That was impossible, because it was hard for him to cross the ball, and because Saliba and Gabriel were very close to Haaland all the time. And White on the side, and I think it was Tomiyasu at second, but I forgot the other one at Keel. First. They were very close also. Yes, exactly. We're very close also, covering either Gabriel or Saliba. They work really as a real four line at four, and there were no space for Alan. And Alan is not technically, I would say, the best player in the world. He needs the space. He needs to find his mobility, and if you don't allow him to do so, he struggles like anybody can struggle.
Frank, we know you talk a lot in real life. On the pitch, would you be chirping away at forwards as well?
No, because, I mean, as long as the guy respected me, I was okay. He started to knock me down, you know, whatever, you know, I would become nasty. I would have become nasty, that's for sure. And Mario can witness that. But otherwise, no, never, because I have too much respect for the player. But if you try a nutmeg, if you try something tricky, if you try to tease me, yeah, I can get very upset. So, but I had my good days and my very bad days, let's say.
Much like now. What about you, Mario? I can't imagine you talking to strikers like that.
No, like what Frank just said, you know, like, for example, a perfect example for me is probably to call Thierry Henry, because I knew him personally, and he always would talk to you in the game. And I don't know if he, you know, but like, especially when we played Arsenal, he would always come and tell me so many stories, and I go, don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. He said, but Mario, come on, we're friends, man. And I go, don't talk to me. I'm not going to. Okay, I gave you two answers. Now I'm not answering anymore. And I would not answer, because I know what he tries. He tried to get in your head and for you to switch off 1 second, and he's gone. And I knew that. So I you cut the conversation. Me, I know. No. You know, that's
Mario,
why, like,
wait. What sort of stories is he telling you? Like, I went out last night, had a lovely dinner. Well, what's he talking to you about?
Now, Thierry was not really a party boy, so he would then come up and say, like, hey, let's say Holland is playing France, we're playing each other. He say, hey, Mario, I'm playing you in a month time again. You know, some silly story that I really don't care about. And then he'll go like, hey, sometimes he will say, hey, give me a chance, man. You don't have to mark me so tight. Let me go, man. Why are you worrying about me? You know, little things like that, just to get into your head. And when you're friends, right, when you laugh about it because some things were silly, it's almost like trash talk. How the basketballers are really great at it, but he was trying to bring that in the game, and then he loves to embarrass you. One thing he was really good at, and that's why for the ones that he got, he didn't get me, but for the ones that he got, he will look at you and make you know that I got one over you. And that's why I never spoke to him, because I knew he would come for me. And when I played against him, I said no. So that's why, no. But just going back to the game, when you saw the two guys playing, you know, Saliba and Gabriel, they were so focused. But I do have to say, I said it before, you have to watch what Jorginho did. How he marked in front of Haaland it killed Haaland's game. There was no pass for him over the like over the floor. They couldn't get to him. Through the air, it's kind of hard because the two guys, they're not little boys, eh? Saliba and Gabriel. They're tough. They're physically powerful enough to handle the game. And you could see that. And they were sitting also deep. It's not most likely that we see Arsenal sit that deep. So there was not a lot of space for Haaland to get behind them because then it gets to the goalkeeper. So when you watch that game, I felt it was very tight. And the only moment where I only have the question to Pep was with Caviar, that he had a problem with, I think, Silva. He had a problem with the first half, like trying to get, you know, the ball of him. And he didn't anticipate it on that. He waited till the second half to make his substitutions. That's the only moment I say Pep could have capitalized really quicker on that. Because later on he tried with Doku and Grealish and he didn't come out anymore. And you saw the conversation at the end with Grealish.
We could obviously carry on talking about the tactics that we're in. Go on, Frank.
Sorry, didn't you find, guys, Luis in particular, you played for Liverpool, that when you watch Liverpool, you know that vertically they're going to try stuff. We saw Szoboszlai shooting from distance and some others shooting from distance. When you see City and the tactic that has been very successful for Guardiola, going over, keeping the ball, never lose the ball, meaning sometimes never try anything, never shoot from distance, you feel frustrated. Well, sometimes, you know, when you go around and you can't find the space, you never try anything until you lose the ball because you are so stuck into your idea of going around and trying to find a little space. Sometimes, you know, to make sure that the team is going to get out is to shoot from distance, to put the players out, to force the players to come out. And maybe at that time, at that point, you can try a little pass. But that was so the same scenario for 90 minutes. It's very sometimes effective and most of the time, but against a very good defending team like the Gunners has been yesterday, it's almost impossible that way.
Yeah.
Go on, Luis.
Yeah, I totally see that what you're talking, because it's true that we would love to see a little bit more of Rodri arrive in second line and try the far distance shot and try to bring the two lines of defenders. To be honest, I was very impressed with Arsenal because they were doubling up every single place, because when the ball was going on the wide areas, there were two players just getting ready to cover that space into the center, exactly the same. I would have loved to see something different. If Haaland is not helping or is not receiving the ball, maybe try with Julian Alvarez or a player you can play as, or even Bernardo as a false number nine. What the two center back would have done without a player to mark, they would have been lost. Two, three players into the middle without no one to mark, and then create the advantage or create more numbers of players in a different position, not into the center where you could see that it was very difficult to break, because Arteta did so well, make a triangle to the middle, make it so difficult to get through the middle. So try to find something different, more players getting involved into the middle who can play, because with Haaland it's very difficult to make a wall pass or get superiority into the middle. So I would have loved to see something different, not something that we've seen so far the rest of the season.
Did anyone talk to you during games?
Nobody bothered me. I'm back there on my own.
Nobody's bothered me. Have a little chat to you.
No,
I find it brilliant that you
leave him back there all lonely.
And what about you, Luis? Did you talk to defenders, try and put them off? I'm fascinated by this.
No, to be honest, no, I wasn't that guy. I used to smile. I think that making a smile or having a laugh when I receive a knock or a kick or a join, I used to feel that they were getting frustrated or getting angry with me, because when they were trying to tackle me, I used to dive a little bit, to try to smile and try to get that yellow card on them and get them frustrated. So that was my way of trying to take them away from the focus, trying to take them away from the game.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Lewis obviously smiling at the moment, given what's going on at Liverpool. But what happens next? That's the big question, isn't it? When Jurgen Klopp leaves, of course, we learned on Friday that Xavi Alonso will not be taking over. A lot of rumours about Ruben Amorim, the sporting manager. He came out and he addressed rumours, basically, that they've already got a replacement for him. He said the manager is clearly Sporting's manager and only Sporting's manager. Oh, he says that a lot. The players know how much they want to win, and I want to win titles for Sporting. The only thing that annoys me is that they already had a replacement for me. That's what's got me more upset. Even today, I told Hugo Viana, who's the sporting director of football, to calm down because it's not like that. OK, so let's just take Amorim out of the equation. We know Xavi Alonso's out of the equation. So who would you have? You take a look at the list, Deserbi, Nagelsmann, you've got Linders, Postecoglou, Gary O'Neill is a name that's been linked to Liverpool as well. Mario, who would you go for?
I mean, look, if this is the only list that they have, right? I mean, Serbi, yeah, I mean, we saw him, what he did when he turned up. I mean, the way they want to press the game, the way... Look, I think someone needs to come there. What's very important for Liverpool, I think what they have built over the years so far, they have to make sure they bring someone in that understands where they're going. Because if you bring someone in that has going to change the whole momentum of the club,
yeah,
it's going to be a long journey. It's going to be scary. Like, you know, the club have done so great. Like, you know, when Klopp came there, the way they built it, even he was questioned there in the beginning when he got there, because people were talking about it, like, some of the changes that he was making, people were not really impressed in the beginning. But then later on, when he started winning the trophies, people were like, wow, this is what we really needed. And the energy, the pressing, the way the freedom he gives certain players. Like, you know, some of the things, like how they play. Look at McAllister, how he plays now. You understand, the middle of the park, he played behind. Enzo comes back in. He plays now in front. You know, Szoboszlai, the way they set each other up to put Salah for the goal. So Liverpool. But now you're going to have a coach that has to understand that. Because if you bring someone in and he doesn't understand that. So that's why, for me, Serbi could be the person that understands. But is it too early? Because it's a different size. Eh? Going from Brighton is a club that gives you the time to develop. And you can, you know, take certain risks and go to Liverpool. They will not give you time. I mean, Luis probably knows it better than I know. But for my journey, just watching them, I just feel like, no, when it comes to that size, you need someone that is going to move them forward. So, yeah, I call the Nagelsmann too. But those are probably the big heads that I call in that list, because the other ones that you just highlighted before, his journey hasn't been that long yet, regardless if he is at Sporting.
Luis, it's a huge decision, isn't it, for Liverpool to make. And whoever comes in is, certainly for the short term, going to be in the shadow of Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah, exactly. It's not only about picking a manager who is going to fit on what is being done for the past 10 years. It's about the personality of that manager, how he can connect with the crowd, because no one else in the past 50 years has connected the same way with the crowd, with the club, with the community, with the city. He feels like he is part of the Red family, and he has gave everything to prove that it was worth it as a manager, but also as a person, as part of the city. And that's something that, even though that is not part of the football side, is part of the club history and the club background. So very difficult to find that position, that personality. Then we can go on the technical side or tactical side, and then we can talk about the Serbian and the style of play. Postecoglou, I think that because of his personality, can manage very well with the journalists, with the club, with the supporters as well. The energy of Unai Emery, I think, will fit as well in a fantastic way. I'm not sure the same way with the rest of what it is, the tactical side. So in the end, it's very difficult to find, because all of them, we can build a new Jurgen Klopp, but we need to understand that there is not going to be another Jurgen Klopp. So we need to start opening our minds to help and find the right manager, thinking that it's not going to be the same. It's not going to be the same style of play. It's not going to be the same results. And of course, no one is going to give them probably the same time that we gave to Jurgen Klopp. We remember when he arrived, it took them 3 years to build a very strong team. Right now, it's a very strong team. So we need to find a manager who delivered straight away.
Well, which is exactly what Jurgen Klopp has done, which is exactly what someone like Sir Alex Ferguson did, Frank, at Manchester United. But his shadow still looms big over Old Trafford. You know, more than a decade after he left, you're still talking about finding the right fit, the right manager to take over from him.
Yeah, and you can add Arsene Wenger at Arsenal. And Arsenal just came back from glory.
Arteta's kind of bucked that trend, though, hasn't he? But Wenger didn't go out on the high.
But it took a while between our Wenger to get Arteta and to go back to maybe a possibility of success. So it's always hard, you know, when you hit the top of the top, you know, it's of course very hard for the coach to be accepted already from the fans, but also the dressing room, how it's going to work, who's going to stay, in which mindset the players are going to be, you know, how it's going to work, you know, Salah's going to stay or not, and some other, Van Dijk as well. Everything might change because Klopp leaving. And even if you have De Zerbi, who I think is the favourite, I don't see Nagelsmann. I think Germany is going to do well and he's going to stay. I don't see Postecoglou. I don't know why he's even in that list. I think he's going to stay at Spurs. But you will have to have somebody, and Mario, I think, alluded it, who keep the philosophy of Klopp, for sure, 100%. Otherwise, they're going to struggle. And then, maybe it's going to work. Maybe, but you're not sure. Because it's, of course, not the same person. We all know that Klopp is like a father to the players. How De Zerbi is going to behave towards those players, being convincing for sure, that's a question mark. We all want, if he signs for the club, that it works, because Liverpool has to stay on the top of the top. But yeah, it's not for sure that you're going to have success.
If you're De Zerbi, Bayern Munich, Liverpool, where are you going?
I think Liverpool is the most natural, or is the easiest fit, given that he's currently coaching England. But those are, as everybody's alluding to, really big shoes to fill.
Yeah, and Bayern are a mess.
And exactly, and you're taking over a team that needs to be completely redone. I think part of the problem that you're alluding to, when you have successful managers at a club and somebody else comes in, when those clubs are as successful as Manchester United or Arsenal, Things work really intricately, and any change to that almost throws it off entirely. So to do that with a Liverpool team who's had the success that they had, even though De Zerbi's style is pretty similar, but there are changes, upsets the balance, and you just wonder what the knock-on effect will be. The other side to your question around Bayern Munich, a team performing as poorly as they are, you come in, you're given the freedom to change things. Certainly with Bayern Munich and the Bundesliga, you also know that you have arguably the best players in the league. The club will spend to reinforce, and you'll be given a far longer honeymoon period at Bayern than maybe you'd get at a successful Liverpool.
Frank, is that it for you today? You're just in this segment, that's it?
Yeah. You know, I've been working a lot, so I think the director today didn't want me to work that much. I don't want to say something. I check on the French dictionary to the translation. Timetable is also a fixture, and it's also a schedule. So I would just want to say goodbye and thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Frank. Humble as always. Every day is a school day. Thank you very much. Right, the timetable has you off now. Go away. The Gavin Jules podcast is... Oh, it's like, oh, look at Don.
I haven't seen Don forever.
Looks a bit tired, Don, doesn't he always? Mm. Anyway, he's with Gab. Be sure to check it out. That dropped today. Right, there was Monday Night Action...
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Atleti then with the win, much needed as well, as I mentioned, it takes them back into the top four with 8 games to go. They are 2 points clear of Athletic Club. Luis, watch this game for us. Overall, Atleti, good for the win, Luis?
Good enough, to be honest. They started very well the game with a great intensity, creating chances. I think the Memphis gave that extra to the team, but it was about scoring that goal. And the team, as always, starts sitting back, getting deeper and deeper. And then Villarreal, that is in a great form, started getting better and better and creating chances. In the second half, that first equalizer from Villarreal arrived very quick. So Atletico Madrid needed to change. We saw Simeone start changing in the shape of the team, start bringing new players with Correa, with Morata. And because of those changes, had the chance in the last minute. When previous, just 5 minutes just before of that chance, Villarreal could have scored the second one and get the 3 points. So in the end, I think it was more fair, to be honest, a draw. But Atletico Madrid, as always, Xhaka just mentioned it, with a little bit of drama, got the 3 points very needed to get in the top four, because this Atletico Madrid was built to fight for the Champions League, and they are back to the top four.
And, of course, they're in the Champions League. They're in the quarterfinals. They're on the easier side of the draw, no doubt about that. And you take a look, they obviously take Borussia Dortmund on later on in the month. What is the expectations from the Atleti fans going in to that quarterfinal, Luis?
Right now, a little bit of concerns, because we don't know what we are going to find out. What is the team that we're going to see? We're going to see the team who play against Cadiz and lost, or the team that today... For 20 minutes, it was good, but then it was very bad. And we are going to face the second game. We cannot forget that Atletico Madrid is very good, almost unbeatable this season. Only one game they lost against Barcelona just a week ago. But away is a team that struggles so much. And let's don't forget that the first game is going to be at the Metropolitano. And the second one, we have to go to the Signal Iduna Park. And we all know what the atmosphere is created there by the fans or by Dortmund, that they are in a great form also. So, honestly, there's a lot of concerns. If they don't manage to get a good result, and a good result, I mean a win, 1-0, 2-0, and arrive there and know that with experience of Simeone, make a very cagey game and make lose the time and maybe on a counter-attack get their goal, I think that Borussia Dortmund, by the time that they are right now and with the confidence, I think they are a little bit favourites. I will give it 60-40.
Meanwhile, Real Madrid don't look like dropping any points, really. Knew they and letting Barcelona into this title race. As they sit 8 points clear at the top of the table, no Vinicius Jr., no problem against Athletic Club. Rodrigo fills his boots, says the front page of Marca. Prince Charming. Says the front page of AS, which is quite interesting because he's a little bit like Prince Harry in that he's never going to be king. You've got Kylian Mbappe coming in, you've got Vinicius Jr., and then you've got Rodrigo, very much third in the pecking order of players who like to come in from the left-hand side. What do you do if you're Rodrigo, Luis, over the summer? Do you just sit and say, look, I'm going to fight for my place. I'm at Real Madrid. Wherever I go, there's going to be a drop of quality. Or do you think, look, I want to play football. I want to start games. I want to be appreciated. I'm going to move on.
Yeah, exactly. It's a great question, Dan, and a very difficult to call it because you have to be in his boots. And right now, Rodrigo, he's been feeling from the first minute who arrived to Real Madrid exactly the same way. One day because it was Vinicius and then it was Jude Bellingham and it was Benzema. Everyone was getting the spotlight but him. And when he's been involved, when he's been the player who needed to deliver, he's been delivering. Yesterday, we saw a fantastic example of what he can give to Real Madrid. He was playing the left side. And when he played that side, that is actually his position, the position that you can get the best of him because he's got the skills, he's got the finishing, he's very quick, he can drive players of 1v1, he can assist, he can combine. So he's got everything, but he needs the confidence. And when he's been lacking in confidence is when we've seen those talks with Ancelotti, ins and outs, some misunderstanding, let's call it this way. So in the end, it's a great call, the one he has to do. I think that he's going to stay. He's going to try to give because there is a long season for Real Madrid, almost 70 games every single season, and you are going to give minutes to everyone. And I would love to see that strike force, Mbappé, Vinicius Juniors, and Rodrigo. Three top strikers for make Real Madrid almost unbeatable.
What would you do, Shan?
Wait to see, in all honesty.
Wait to see what?
Wait to see what happens and how Ancelotti plays you. And I got you. Rodrigo has been battling to play in his preferred position for some time, but there's no denying his value to Real Madrid and to their successes over the last couple of seasons. So while Kylian Mbappe comes in, Ancelotti just has this way of getting the best out of players, understanding what's needed of them individually. And we sang his praises as a man manager. If I'm Rodrigo, I wait to see what he has in store for me and before I make any final decisions.
There's no La Liga action this weekend because of the Copa del Rey final in Seville. We'll see Athletic Club take on at Mallorca. That game will be live on ESPN+. Our coverage of that final starts at 3:30 Eastern.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Speaking of cup finals, Chelsea lost, of course, against Arsenal yesterday in the Women's League Cup. It means Emma Hayes, of course, last season will not end with her picking up the quadruple. But that wasn't the big talking point after the match. Here's Seben Ali to address what was.
Thank you very much, Dan. Yeah, the real story of the week in women's football around the world has been this dust-up between Jonas Eidevall, the manager of Arsenal, and Emma Hayes, the manager of Chelsea, after the FAWSL Cup final. Ali, I want to get your thoughts on it in just a second, but let's hear from both parties first. We'll start with Emma Hayes, and then we'll hear what Eidevall had to say.
Listen, I think there's a way to conduct yourself on the touchline. I really do, and I think that it's absolutely essential we role model in the right way. But I'm not down for male aggression on the touchline. I'm not. And fronting up with players, for me, that's unacceptable. And yeah, I was disappointed, and I told Jonas that. I don't think it's okay to behave like that. He got a yellow card, and in fact, he probably should have been sent off. I'm all for competing to win. I've never been booked in 12 years, you know, my time here. I totally accept he's a winner and he wants to win, but his behaviour on the touchline wasn't acceptable.
Those are the thoughts of Emma Hayes, who, of course, will take over the U.S. women's national team in just a couple months. What about her counterpart? This is what Eidevall had to say, quote, "I think that, referring to male aggression, is a very irresponsible way of labeling the behavior that I had. People can listen to what I'm saying and see what I'm doing. It's nothing out of order or out of the ordinary. I'm actually happy with the way I conducted myself, and others need to look at themselves in the mirror and see if they're happy with themselves. All right, so Ali, a lot to unpack here. What do you make of the situation kind of overall?
I mean, I agree. The coaches have to be role models for the players and the fans, and then obviously the ball girls and boys and the players themselves. Everyone should be conducting with the, you know, the best of their ability on the sideline and on the pitch. It's unfortunate that a situation like that happened, but the game is heated, right? It's you're in a final, you're trying to win a trophy. I could see that sometimes it can get super heated, mm-hmm. and you know, you kind of lose some emotions and control of that at times. I mean, I've been there as well. So, yes. You need to be professional. You need to have respect for everyone. You know, but in some moments, sometimes it can get a little chippy with coaches as well. He got a yellow card. It was noticed and it was recognized. And hopefully next time that they can both learn from the actions.
That fiery nature that we mm-hmm. saw from Hayes, how do you think that'll go over with the U.S. Women's National Team in that dressing room?
I actually think it's brilliant. I really like her. I really like the approach she takes. I really like her attitude. Obviously, maybe not here pushing the opponent's coach.
But I bet you that's in the U.S. Women's National Team group chat right now, that gift for sure, huh?
It is. But listen, I think she is, you know, stands up for really what she believes in, and she stands behind it, and she has weight behind it. And I think with the players, that if they're not going to be, you know, obviously, you know, performing well and to the expectations that she gives them and the roles and responsibilities that she sets forth, and they're not, you know, fulfilling that, then she will find the next player to do that job. And there's going to be constant fire underneath of players to perform well and to perform their best. And if not, she's going to create that change, and she's going to say, listen, you have to be your best, or I'm going to find somebody who's going to fill that role.
Do not mess with Emma Hayes. I think that's what we're all figuring out here. We will be talking plenty more about match day 3 in the NWSL on tonight's edition of Football Americas, available to you live right here on ESPN Plus. For Ali, I'm Seb. Dan, it's all yours.
You are indeed. Thank you very much. Just a reminder, in Germany, it's all about the semi-finals of the German Cup over Tuesday and Wednesday. Tuesday, Saarbrücken take on Kaiserslautern. That's at 2:30 Eastern. And then it's Bayer Leverkusen take on Fortuna Düsseldorf. Those games live on Plus and ESPNU. Mario's internet is still working.
Hey, he will be back with give us. Him another clap.
Luis Garcia, bonus. Oh, he's on extra time next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Mario is here, as is Luis, as is Shaka. What was that noise? If there were to be a tie at the top of the table in the Premier League after the last game of the season, should there be a playoff game to decide the winner? Would anybody be in favour of that? Luis, would you like that?
No, no more games, please. No more games. I'm happy the way it is, and the one who's got more goals giving the trophy. No more games.
Would you like a big playoff at Wembley, Mario?
No, I agree. You know, look, let the league just... If I was playing, I would definitely say no. So now I'll be... It would be funny if I would say yes. No. No more. It's good.
What if it was a three-way
Protect the players so they can show us the high quality of football.
Yeah. If it was three, it'd be like winner stays on.
You have to put an extra goal on. Everybody defends one goal and tries to score on the opponent.
Oh, wow, that'd be good, Shaq.
That would be a good decider.
That'd be entertaining, yeah. Wouldn't it? Write a letter.
I will. I absolutely will.
Two seasons ago, Liverpool were going for the quadruple and played 60-plus matches, Shaq.
Aye.
Then last season struggled massively with performance and injuries and finished fifth. Last season, United played 60-plus matches and are struggling badly and will finish fifth or sixth. Should Ten Hag be given more time?
No. I get the parallel, but if somehow you're making a comparison between United and Liverpool, I'm sorry, you're not going to get much favour.
All right, no. So, did you see United-Brentford at the weekend, Mario?
Yeah, I saw the game. Oh, and it wasn't cute, man, because if you saw the celebration of Mount at the end, it showed you how they know that winning that game would have been something special, and then they get the equalizer. Okay, then you know already. No. they should not won that game. They draw the game, I know, but I'm just saying, like, they thought they were going to win it at the last minute. And if you saw everybody's face, you could see that they knew that something special happened if they would have won that one.
Who do you hate more, Luis? Manchester United or Real Madrid?
I don't hate. I just don't like.
What a politician.
Hate is a big word.
He's got to go for dinner later, eh, guys. He's got to go for dinner later. Allow him, because Madrid is not a big place. Eh? So allow him. Easy. Luis, right answer, man. Keep the peace in your city.
That's right.
Yeah. When we were at the Bernabeu together, there was certainly hate being thrown in Luis's direction for the Real Madrid fans.
But hate is a strong word.
One of my favourite bits of the trip. Ancelotti is such an underrated coach, Luis. He's managed to keep Madrid alive this season with injuries to key players, has a rich trophy history. When will people put him on the same pedestal as Pep?
I totally agree. I think that because he never wants a spotlight on him. He never wants attention. He's always keeping that consistency on the way he talks. He addresses the journalists, always in a nice temper. I think that is one of the best managers in the history of football because of the trophy, because of the way the teams he has managed, experience that he's got, and it's totally true. This season has been unbelievable. The way that in the beginning of the season, suddenly found himself without coach, without keeper, without centre-backs, with problems into the midfield, with Vinicius some injuries, with Jude Bellingham out. So I think that he's done magic, to be honest, and we have to give credit to what he's done. And the looks is that he's going to win at least La Liga, and we'll see for some other trophies. So big credit, and yeah, he should be at the top three, top five of best managers.
Mario, who would you respond better to? The kind of Pep Guardiola, always in your face, always talking, or kind of Carlo Ancelotti, arm around the shoulder we see from his man management?
I think Ancelotti, you know, like, don't get me wrong. I think, you know, like, eventually you manage both, because I feel like you give, because I had so many coaches in my life, you develop a relationship with each individual on your own way. But if I look at what Luis said, you know, Ancelotti, if you look back at the history also from Ancelotti, what he achieved, but also like how he achieved it, you know, like some of the clubs that maybe he let go, you know, the Napoli and, you know, Everton and situation happened or whatever, if it's, but then what he at Madrid is not luck anymore. Eh? He's not driving the situation on luck anymore. This is pure quality, and someone is an incredible manager, because he's not only good at like managing his team, but also as a human. Look how the players are all in awe with him. And I think as a football coach, you need to be better than only teaching me about football. You also have to be able to teach me about life. Because if you teach me about life, I'm definitely going to guarantee you that I'm going to give you the extra mile that I have in me. And I think that's not only for a coach, I think anybody's in charge. You want them to make sure that they can motivate you, that you can give them the extra that is needed to win games. And I think Ancelotti is very good at it. And Pep is good at it too.
This is a very deep extra time.
Mario's taking it deep. Oh. And I tell you what, I'm ready to swim in it. It's
Luis
fantastic.
Started with, haters. It's beyond me to hate. No, Mario's gone all deep in life.
What would you want? Stevie sitting rubbing his belly?
I keep you alive.
That's more power for the cause.
I like it. Teach you about life. Were you going to say something before I went to Mario? No. Do you remember?
Yeah, I was, but don't worry.
Oh, okay, all right then.
I'm just focused now.
Luis, rate these stadiums based on the best home field advantage. Ooh. The Bernabeu, Anfield, the Metropolitano, the San Siro, and St James's Park. Wow.
Wow, I will go with the number one Anfield, number two San Siro, number three Metropolitano, number four St James Park, and number five Bernabeu. By the atmospheres.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good.
I'm in no position to argue there.
Well, why not?
Huh?
Well, you've played at St James's Park, you've played at Anfield.
That's two.
All right.
I haven't played at the others.
Okay. You're just giving up on the question.
Right, so Luis is the perfect man.
No, that's very good. Have you been to all those places, Shaq? I'm thinking if I had been to all of them. I've never been to St James's Park.
Never been?
No.
I'll take it down. Bingo.
What's it? What's the market called?
The big market.
The big market. I was there with my boy. That's a fun place, isn't it?
I've never been, Dan.
Oh, yeah? Must have been a nice, fun place for a Premier League footballer.
I have no idea.
Yeah, right.
No idea.
Dan, he should have taken you this weekend. This weekend would have been a perfect game for you to be there because I'm sure that stadium was rocking this season.
Yeah, imagine
this weekend, wow, with that goal, the last goal, woohoo!
Yeah, when Harvey Barnes did that, wow.
Would have been.
It would have been. Well, for Shaka, how many minutes into the Arsenal City game did you take a nap? You definitely fell asleep.
I got it. I had a little wander. I had to go for a walk.
You had to go for a walk?
Yeah, it was a hard watch.
Yeah.
It was a hard watch.
But why did you need to walk?
Because I was going to fall asleep.
Oh, I see. It was to wake you up.
Get some fresh air.
Yeah.
It was a hard watch.
Yeah, it was dull.
Yeah, it was.
Mario, even you being Mr. Positive, there's not many positives from that game, just as a football fan, was there?
No, it was only a lesson of the tactical, but do we want to watch it? No. I like goals too, just like anybody else, and we didn't get to see them.
No. Final question. How much Easter candy did you eat yesterday? My rankings for the most candy would be Shaka number one, Dan number two, Mario number three.
I didn't have any You went too early.
You went too early then.
I didn't have much.
No.
I got a lot of candy, but I had some wine gums.
You have wine gums?
My wife got me wine gums.
Oh, fantastic.
I didn't even eat your whole bag.
They're my favourite.
I love wine gums.
Yeah, that's my go-to when people are coming over.
Listen to this trio.
Okay.
Wine gums.
Yes.
Dairy milk.
Oh, yes.
Caramel.
Wow, Shaq.
And I only had half of that's three top. Yeah.
This is all British candy.
Yes.
So you're thinking we're going nuts.
Really, really good. I only had half a bag of wine gums. I'm really proud of myself.
Yeah. Mario, I can't imagine you're a big sugar man, no?
I've always been. And I'm going to tell you, I had some ice cream yesterday, and my favorite ice cream, I don't know if everybody's familiar with it, but I did the chocolate with the peanut butter. Oh my God, guys, I am scared to tell you, but it was delicious. It was delicious. You know that ice cream? I'll tell you that. Look, let me tell you something. You know when you take a bite, and then you say to yourself, let me stop, but you cannot stop. That feeling I had.
Oh, Mario, I love it.
I have an ice cream for you, Mario.
Yeah?
I remember Jenny's goat's milk and red cherry.
Goat's milk?
It's the best, Mario.
There you go.
Next time you're here, okay. I'll bring you some.
He'll send you some Jenny's goat milk.
Yeah, okay.
Goat's milk and red cherry.
Luis, we need your favourite candy, sweet, sugar.
Not much of sugar, but I love cheesecake. That's my kind of dessert. Every single time that I have the chance, I try to try cheesecake. Here in Madrid, there is a lot of places, and I like to go some different ones to try the different tastes.
Yeah, what's your flavor, Luis? What's your go-to?
I will go to salty caramel.
Yeah.
I think it's called.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So caramel.
That's cheesecake. Vanilla and salt caramel.
You haven't told us what candy you had.
I was here. I didn't have any candy. I watched Stevie eat a massive bag of chips, standard.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was it. I had to go home and start to prepare for today's show, which just shows in the quality.
Good Lord.
Of the production.
You had me up until that last bit. I was believing you.
We'll say thank you very much to Mario and Luis. Thanks to Shaka as well. We'll be back on your screens tomorrow. You look at the games. And we've, of course, got the semi-final. Kaiserslautern against Saarbrücken.
Oh!
I love saying that.
Oh.
And also, West Ham against Tottenham. Not quite.
That's a big game, man.
Hmm?
I'll be watching that.
Are you in tomorrow?
Yeah.
You going to go for a walk?
No.
Are you really in tomorrow?
Yeah. And Wednesday.
Are you?
Yeah.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.